So today we're going to begin this talk on Louisa and Living Hosts of the Divine Will. Saint Faustina was told by Jesus that she was to become a living host. Okay, so this is not new for the church at this point. But volume 15 and volume 16, Jesus really begins to talk about what it means to become a living host. And it's very essential that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we have to understand what the Eucharistic reign of Jesus is all about and the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become like Jesus in God, in Jesus' image and likeness. That's Our Lady's triumph. And that's why she said to Father Gobi that the triumph will begin in Mexico City. And this is what's so amazing, is that as soon as the writings were copied in 1996, the first place they went where a group of people were reading were reading the volumes 1 through 19, they already finished 1 through 19, they had studied 1 through 19, was Mexico City at Acuña's prayer group. And they were the first to read all 36 volumes. So when Our Lady says the triumph will happen in Mexico City, will begin in Mexico City, has already occurred. Now, to Father Gobi, Our Lady said to Father Gobi in 1997, everything is complete. And the reason everything is complete is the writings were released from the Vatican in 1996. So people have had the writings to read, to study, and so it's begun. Okay, so the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary has already begun, number one. Number two, we're now going to learn what the Eucharistic reign of Jesus is all about. A lot of people think that we will all spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament in kneeling in adoration. And again, that's what we've been doing for the last 2,000 years, more so now than ever. John Paul II asked that every parish have Eucharistic adoration. But what Jesus tells Luisa is something that's so astonishing that the Vatican is looking at this and recognizing that this life that Jesus wants to give us is to become living hosts. And this is what we'll be talking about today. So we have to understand the triumph has begun. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is beginning now as we learn the truths in this doctrine of the divine will. And how great this is that we are living at this time. So the sign of the times for us, and if you listen to the world and even religious, the sign of the times for us is the four blood moons and the Ebola outbreak and the wars, the Ukraine, Syria, Lebanon being, you know, just demolished, and Libya. But we have to understand that for us, the sign of the times for us is Luisa Picaretta, the divine will. And the reason that Jesus wants us to have this is he says this is the way you're going to get through the most difficult times. So we're not going to focus on the negative. We're not going to focus on all the doom and gloom. We're going to focus on this great gift of the divine will in Luisa Picaretta. We should be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Again, everything's falling apart with the family, or the friends, neighbors, coworkers, parishioners. Everything is falling apart. And we get glimmers of hope, but it's not in this world. The hope that we have is certitude. Christian hope is certitude. We are certain of what Jesus is teaching us through these volumes. And again, it's not by chance that he has said that he wants these volumes to be known as the Book of Heaven. So as we begin to read this and study this and put this into practice, this becomes our everything. This is where we have our happiness. If you look at your family, you're not going to have happiness there. If you look at your friends, you're not going to have happiness there. The happiness that God wants us to possess is this great gift of the divine will that God gave to Luisa. She is the one who possesses it, and we go to Luisa to receive it. This is why we're reading the Book of Heaven. Now, there are some people that say you're not allowed to read the Book of Heaven. Don't worry about that. It was very clear when we were with the Archbishop in 2005, he said very clearly, when somebody said, what about all these writings? What are we going to do about them? And the postulator said very clearly, if you have them, read them. And somebody says, well, where can we find these writings? Where? And he said, all you have to do is look and you'll find them. So the church doesn't say to us, you cannot read. What the church says is you cannot produce these. You cannot publish them. And you're not supposed to, what he said, basically, if you have a priest and you have a desire to read the divine will, then these basically you can read. Again, there are not the official translations yet, but they're the best that we have at this point. So read, study, don't be afraid to read. There will be some people that will say don't, and the reason they're saying don't is because it's financial. They're not making money because they're not allowed to publish. But these writings are for everybody. Jesus says that. We obey the church. We're not going to publish. But if somebody wants these writings, Jesus says he's the one that gives them to you. So if you are looking for the writings, all you have to do is search and you'll find them. And just make sure that they're good translations. And as you read these, as you study these, as you put these into practice, it's a whole new beginning that God is going to give you. So we'll start with volume 11. 3:3:12. My daughter, now Luisa is the soul. The soul who does my will loses her temperament and acquires mine. Okay, so there's no more misery with a soul who does the will of God. So you forget about yourself and you're happy. But if you're important and your desires are important, then you're going to be miserable. Your temperament is of misery. So he says, if you do my divine will. Now you remember, in volume 11, he begins to teach how to live in the divine will. Volume 1 through volume 10 is doing the will of God, because that's what it means to become a saint, a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. So at the beginning, he says does, and then as time goes on, he says lives. So it's a progression. So when somebody says, well, Jesus says, he never says live in the divine will, he says does. Well, you're reading volume 1 through volume 10. You have to become a saint first. Then you have to begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, volume 11 through volume 19. And then you begin to receive the divine inheritance of the Father as you read volume 20 through volume 36. So, again, the souls that love Luisa and the divine will, who are unhappy, it's because they're not reading. When you read, you actually have the possibility of living heaven on earth if you cooperate with what God is teaching you. If you are in rebellion of what God teaches you, like, I don't believe that, or I can't understand this, I don't want that, God says, fine, God backs off. See, God looks for docility. He looks for submission. When the angel came to Mary...
There's six cars that are on the wrong side of the street.
Okay.
Basically, they're parked on the side of the street that the monastery is on. Both on this side,
the front
side.
Want to use this? Want to use the microphone?
Oh.
There's six cars that are on the wrong side of the street. Okay? They're basically the ones that are on the side of the street that the monastery is on. Okay? The convent. There's a Massachusetts plate, a maroon Forester. New York plates, a Grace Sentra. New York plates, another Grace Sentra. That's out front. A black Equinox out front. There's a Hyundai Sonata out front. Black Honda CRV out front. Okay? Total of six cars.
If you don't move them, you will get a ticket. The police are out there right now. They're looking at you. On the other side of the street. And thank you for sponsoring this. Okay. So, well, then we'll see how many are left and how many get tickets. And you'll win with this ticket. Okay, so Jesus is asking us to begin to acquire his temperament. Okay, and his temperament is of peace, joy, and happiness. It's heaven. Just as in my temperament, there are many melodies which form paradise for the blessed, such that music is my sweet temperament, music of goodness, music of the sanctity, music of the beauty, music of the power, music of the wisdom, music of the immensity, and so on with all the rest of my being. The soul receives within herself all the variety of these melodies, taking part in all of the qualities of my temperament, of Jesus' temperament. So again, if you were really striving to live in the divine will, there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. And what the devil will try to do is try to cause trouble, like, you know, having you park on the wrong side of the street, you know, having police come and, you know, giving the tickets out. So what we're supposed to do is say, fiat, okay, and to re-enter into heaven, to be peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy. So, again, this music, it's the music of heaven. Now, it reminds me of when St. Francis asked to hear a song in heaven of the angels singing. And they said, no, this cannot happen. If you hear a song of heaven, you will die of ecstasy. So he says, well, let me just hear a note of heaven. And the angels sang one note. And St. Francis was in ecstasy for 3 days. The music of heaven is so beautiful. It's not of earth. We are supposed to, this great gift of the divine will is we have to begin to see love, hear love, smell love, taste love, and the other sense. You have to hear love. You hear, see, smell, taste, touch. We have to enter into this kingdom so that everything that we think, say, and do is filled with love. And I'm not talking about human love. It's divine love, where every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand is saying to us, I love you, I love you, I love you. And our response of with all these I love yous of God is to give back to God our I love you. And this is the reason why we have the rounds of creation, the rounds of redemption is the way Jesus prayed, is the way Mary prayed. The rounds are the way Adam prayed before the fall. It's to enter into this music. See, a hymn, a psalm, is a song, and it's a melody. And this is what we're supposed to enter into. The children of today are involved in all the songs and hymns of the evil one. And how sad that is. They're singing, memorizing the songs that are not of God. See, our job is to re-enter into this. So as you begin to learn to pray the rounds, it becomes a song. It becomes a hymn. And as you pray this, your life is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. It echoes in your brain. You begin to pray all day long. And this is why the rounds are so important today, that we learn how to pray, how to sing, how to know that melody of the rounds. And to show you how powerful the divine will is, in New York State we have a governor who is pro-abortion and pro-everything, not of God. And three counties went against this governor. Three counties voted against him. And the counties were Wayne County, Ontario County, and Monroe County. And these are the three counties where the divine will is being taught. And you can see how powerful the divine will is, that as the people read these, you know, in their prayer groups, as the days of recollection happened, what is essential is they knew the truth. They couldn't vote for this man who was pro-abortion. And so what we're seeing is how powerful the divine will is. And as you begin to pray in the divine will, your family is going to come back to God. Jesus says, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. You know, so we want our families in heaven. We want our friends in heaven. We want everyone to possess this gift. So as you begin to pray these rounds, abandoning yourself in God, God is bringing everything. He's reordering everything. See, God is doing this. And when you pray the rounds, and we were talking about this last night, it's not to say, you know, I want to pray the rounds in the sun, the moon, the stars. I want to thank you and praise you and glorify you. I want to adore you. That's not the rounds. The rounds are, I want to thank you and praise you and love you and adore you and bless you of what you, Jesus, have done. As you walked in the fields, as you picked the flowers. See, we're nothing. We can do nothing. But when we do everything one with Jesus, it's a divine act. So we want to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything as we repeat, renew, redo what Jesus has already done, what Our Lady has already done. So this is what Jesus is saying. He says very, very clearly, the soul receives within herself all the varieties of these melodies, taking part in all the divine qualities of my temperament. As she goes along doing even the most tiny actions, she makes a melody for me. And as I, God, hear it, I immediately recognize this music as one taken by the soul from my divine will, my temperament. So I run to listen to it. See, it's Jesus that's doing this. And I like it so much that I remain recreated and cheered from all the wrongs which the other creatures do to me, what your family does to Jesus, what your neighbors do to Jesus, what your coworkers do to Jesus, what your parishioners do to Jesus. See, he's repairing everything. He's renewing everything as we begin to pray in a divine manner. Now, we love the prayers of the saints. The saints' prayers are really wonderful. St. Teresa's prayers, St. Ignatius's prayers, St. Francis's prayers. How beautiful they are. But they're done in a human manner, in a saintly manner, a human saintly manner. Jesus now wants us to begin to pray in a divine manner. And as we begin to pray this, as we begin to enter into this life of Jesus, this life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, again, everything changes for us. So again, that's what Jesus wants us to see. So he says, "My daughter, what will happen when these melodies will pass into heaven? I will put the soul in front of me. I, God, will play my music, and she will play her own, and we will flash each other with other lightning. The sound of one will be the echo of the sound of the other. The harmonies will mix together. It will be clearly known to all the blessed, all the saints in heaven, that this soul is nothing less than the fruit of my divine will, the portents of my divine will, and all of heaven will enjoy one more paradise." And why? Because it's Jesus in us that's doing it. He's the one. We're just echoing what he has already breathed into us, what is already seen all around us, what we hear all around us, what we taste all around us, what we smell all the way around us. You know, we enter into this life of heaven. So what Jesus is going to do is he's going to wean you from the prayers of the saints. Now, I love the prayers of the saints, but God wants more for you now. He wants you to pray the way he prayed. He wants you to pray the way his mother prayed. He wants you to pray the way he breathed into Adam at the beginning with this preternatural life that he wants to give back to us. So he's offering this to us. And as we begin to focus on the rounds and pray the rounds, your whole life is going to change. You will be filled with such peace, joy, and happiness that it will astonish you. When everything falls apart, and it's going to fall apart, you will be filled with peace. And that's why Jesus says when the chastisement occurs, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon the souls living in the divine will. So what God is going to do is he's going to teach us how to do this. How is he going to teach us? By us reading and then rereading. See, once you start rereading these teachings, once you start rereading these truths on your own, hopefully, you know, with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament, what's going to happen is he's expanding your capacity to understand. And every time you read, he expands your capacity even more. As St. Teresa says, if you fill yourself up the size of a thimble, thank you, that was a hard one to say. When you fill yourself up with as big as a thimble, God will fill you. If you open yourself up the size of a bathtub, he will fill you. What Jesus wants is he wants us to dive into the ocean of the divine will and drown into the ocean of divine will. He never wants us to come out. He wants us to be filled inside and outside with his great gift of the divine will. And when we hear drowned, we become afraid when we initially hear it. But it's being that drop of water that's put in the chalice filled with wine. The priest says every day, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. He wants us to enter into this life that he originally gave to Adam. He wants us to enter into this life that Jesus lived, that our Blessed Mother lived. And now is the time that he's going to do this. So he says very clearly, one more paradise. This is what's happening. We will enjoy, heaven enjoys one more paradise. So these are the souls to whom I keep repeating, had I not created heaven, I would have created it only for you. The church says that when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. So when we're kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament, an exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, what happens at that point is, as you say to God, I love you, he hears all mankind. He hears all mankind saying, do I love you? Now in the divine will, it's even greater than that. I love you and I praise you and I thank you and I bless you and I adore you and I worship you in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Every heartbeat that ever beat, every breath that was ever taken, every step that was ever made, every eye blink, every swallow, God is bringing about this I love you, and it's an explosion of I love yous, which we have to understand is driving Lucifer out. Okay? Our Lady is crushing the head of Lucifer. That is a fact. And she is stepping on his head, and as you step on a head of a snake, the tail goes all over the place, trying to get out, trying to do everything to get out from under that heel. We have to understand that all that's happening in the world with the earthquakes, the floods, the famines, the plagues, is the devil squirming. Don't focus on that. Focus on living in the divine will, the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven. Focus on living heaven rather than all the misery that's all around us. There's only one person that's terrified of what's coming, and that is the devil. His kingdom is coming to an end, and it's going to come quickly. We have to be the ones who are calling the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. And as we pray this, come, divine will, it's a whole new beginning for the world. See, our prayer, this is why we pray at the beginning to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle in us the fire of your love, which is divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you will transform the face of the earth through us. So what's coming is so astonishing. It's so amazing. This is why it is one more paradise for the saints in heaven, because they see Jesus working in this. And he says, had I not created heaven, I would have created it only for you, because I place in them the heaven of my divine will, and I make of them the true images of myself. So what is placed in us but heaven? What image do we possess is God. See, through baptism we receive God's image. Through the divine will we receive God's likeness. And this is the image and likeness is going to come back to mankind. This is the preternatural life that Adam had before the fall. This is the life that Jesus was shown to his apostles on Mount Tabor. It's the life that he showed to his apostles when he rose from the dead. See, what's coming is the end of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and negativity completely. And he needs us to start that. He needs us to begin to live that. How glorious this is that our God is offering this to us. He says very clearly, as I go wandering in these heavens, these are the souls living in the divine world, delighting and playing with them, to these heavens, I repeat, had I not left myself in the sacrament for you alone, I would have done it. Because these are my true hosts. Just as I could not live without a will, in the same way I could not live without these heavens of my divine will. Rather, they are not only my true hosts, but the purpose of my Calvary and my own life. So Jesus is saying what he said to St. Faustina. You have to become living hosts. Okay. To get a glimpse of what's coming, when we receive the host, when we receive at Holy Mass the host, Jesus becomes our food, our nourishment. And little by little, we become like him. This is the reason why God gave to the Holy Church of the Holy Eucharist, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. Now, Jesus says, I want to feed on you. I want you to become my food. And why? Because it's him. He's receiving divinity through us who want and strive to become living hosts. And the wanting and the striving is just fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. So Jesus is showing us that he wants this mutual possession, us possessing him and he possessing us. So he wants to feed on us. And for some people, it's going to sound as strange as us receiving Holy Communion, feeding on Jesus, being nurtured by Jesus. Now, we get a glimpse of this as Mary feeding the baby Jesus. We get a glimpse of this as Jesus on the cross saying, I thirst. You know, he wants to be fed. He wants to be nourished by himself. And this is what the true host is about. This is why the Eucharistic reign of Jesus that's coming is going to astonish you. It's nothing that you could ever imagine. Yet, this is what God, as a God, has to do. He is so humble that he came as a child, a little baby, He's so humble that he imprisons himself in the tabernacle, and the churches are empty. And now he says, I'm going to humble myself even more by allowing us to become living hosts so that he can feed on us, because it is him that he's feeding on. These heavens of my divine will are more dear to me and more privileged than the tabernacles and the consecrated hosts themselves, because in the host my sacramental life ends in the species that is consumed, while in these heavens of my divine will, the life of my divine will never ends. See, do you see, understand? When the host dissolves and the Jesus is gone, he's the real presence of Jesus in a mystical way is gone. The host is gone. It's dissolved after 15 minutes. That's why at Holy Mass, the church ends with communion. We have Holy Communion, then we have the final blessing, and it's over. And the reason is the church does not want to interfere with your communion. So our job is to really adore him, praise him, love him, thank him, glorify him. This is the holiest time of the day to be in communion with God. And not to fall into the trick of talking after Mass. It's to adore him and to love him and to praise him and to thank him and to glorify him. And this is what, as you begin to pray the rounds, this prayer is going to be echoing in your brain. And why? Because this was the life of Adam. This was the life of Jesus. It's eternal. And as we begin to pray this way, it's not a devotional prayer. It's not a holy prayer, a saintly prayer. It's the prayer of God. And as we begin to pray this prayer, these rounds, your whole life changes. It cannot be the same. And the more that you pray these rounds, the more that you will really begin to live that peaceful, joyful, happy life. So he says, again, it's a life of my divine will that never ends. These serve as my hosts on earth, and they will be my eternal hosts in heaven. So we become the skin of Jesus. Jesus reigns in us. He's beating. He takes us at our word. Jesus, come beat in my heart beating. He says, okay, whose heart is beating now? It's Jesus' heart. Jesus, come breathe in my breathing. Who's breathing now? It's Jesus breathing in our breathing. Jesus, come walk in my walking. Who's walking now? It's Jesus walking in our walking. And see, as we become, as we begin to understand this life, it really becomes, we become a living host. He is reigning in us. And like I said before, there will come a time when the divine will reigns. As a person in the divine will walks into a hospital, people will be healed instantaneously, completely, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, will be healed. Why? Because it's Jesus walking in our walking. It's Jesus' shadow that's on the floor as we walk by the rooms. It's Jesus who is healing. See, God is asking us, pleading with us, to let him reign in us, be Lord of our life. This is the whole reason for the divine will, and this is why you don't have to worry about your family. You don't have to. You say to Jesus, they're yours. And now I have to do what you want me to do. I have to be focused on what you want me to do. I place my family in your hands. Do with them as you will. If they need a 2x4 in the back of the head to wake them up, so be it. And if tragedy does occur, you say to the Lord, thank you. I know you're taking care of them. See, you can't wake up until you're in the pit for most people. You have to be in the gutter before most people. And then they realize, like the prodigal son, I have better, my father has better food than these people, than the pigs are eating. And I left it. I want to go back. So that's what's coming. To these heavens of my divine will, I will add, had I not incarnated myself in the womb of my mother Mary, excuse me, for these souls alone I would have incarnated myself. For these souls alone I would have suffered my passion, because I find in these souls the true fruit of my incarnation and my passion. So what Jesus is going to show us is how to become a living host. It's the Eucharistic reign of Jesus is that we become living hosts. He's going to reign in us. See, what's coming is going to be so spectacular that when we look at each other, we will see perfection. When we look at each other, we will see God. See, what's the first, volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. What people will see is Jesus. What people will hear is Jesus. What people will encounter is Jesus through you. He wants us to begin to live a life that has not been seen since Adam left. And this life now has been breathed into Luisa Picaretta. Volume 11, 3, 15, 12. My daughter, Luisa, my divine will is the sanctity of sanctities. So this is not a good life, a holy life, a saintly life. It's more than that. We have to understand God wants to give us more than what he gave to the saints. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the world, the history of the church, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. God is doing this. And he's offering this to us. He's just saying, give your fiat and I can give this to you. Give your fiat and begin to read and to study and put this into practice. Let me reign in you. Let me breathe in your breathing. Don't focus on yourself anymore. Not what I want, Jesus says, but what the Lord wants for you. So we have to stop saying I. Father, we were talking last night, and Father says, I hear too many I's in this room. And it's true. We got to get rid of I. It must be we. Jesus, what are we going to do today? Jesus, come eat in my eating. Jesus, come walk in my walking. Let's do this, Lord, together. Never do anything on your own anymore. And if we're focused on God, sin will disappear. If you're focused on God and not on yourself, sin will just dissolve. So this is what God is asking. He says, the divine will is the sanctity of sanctities. The soul who does my divine will according to the perfection that I am, see, he loves his name, God, teaching you, that is on earth as it is in heaven, however small, ignorant, and ignored, leaves even the other saints behind in spite of their prodigies, the most clamorous conversions, and the miracles that the saints performed. It leaves behind with what has been done by the saints. Really, in comparison, the souls who do my divine will, again, this is volume 11, in the way it is in my third fiat, are queens of earth, kings of earth. And it is as if all the others were at their service. It seems that the souls who live in my divine will do nothing while they actually do everything. So as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, nobody's going to see any great things from you. They're going to say, you do nothing. All you do is sit around the house and read. Well, Jesus says, in reality, you're doing everything. Because being in my divine will, these souls act divinely in a hidden and surprising way. These souls are light which illuminates, wind which purifies, fire which burns, miracles which cause miracles. Those who do miracles are channels. But these souls in the divine will reside, in these souls of the divine will resides the power of the miracles. Do you understand this? That Jesus says that the souls live in the divine will because they live in the divine will now, all the miracles of the saints occurred. Everything that happened in the past, because there's no time and space with God. Everything that happened in the past, everything that's going to happen in the future, all the miracles are because of the souls who are living in the divine will. Why? Because in these souls resides the divine power of God. Therefore, they are the foot of the missionary, the tongue of the preacher, the strength of the weak, the patience of the sick, the regime of the superiors, the obedience of the subjects, the tolerance of the slandered, the firmness in dangers, the heroism of the heroes, the courage of the martyrs, the sanctity of the saints, and so on, with all the rest. Being in my most holy divine will, these souls conquer with all the good that can be both in heaven and on earth. Do you see what Jesus is calling us to? As you begin to live this life of heaven on earth, it's affecting all the world, past, present, and future. And as you read this, it affects everything, past, present, and future, because there's no time or space with God. And as we mentioned before, time is coming to an end. A lot of people say, well, Jesus says, I'm with you to the end of time. Well, that's a billion light years from now. Then time will end. No, we don't belong in time and space. This is not where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to get old, wrinkled, gray-haired, and die. That's never been part of God's plan. Time is coming to an end, and eternity is going to begin. That's why Our Lady keeps on saying, if you haven't changed now, you will have no time to change. See, our job is to really begin to live this life, this heaven on earth, becoming really true hosts of God, so that the kingdom can manifest itself. This is why I can surely say that they are my true hosts, but living hosts, not dead hosts. The accidents that form the host are not full of life. Okay, bread and wine are not full of life. They've been picked off the tree. They've been cooked. You know, it's picked off the vine and cooked. They're not full of life. Neither do they influence my divine life. So the host in the tabernacle is God, body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. But it doesn't affect God. It's God. But the soul who lives in my divine will is full of life, and doing my divine will, the soul influences and conquers with all that I, God, can do. So what does that mean? That means that we, okay, who are living in the divine will, becoming living hosts, can say to God, I love you with your own love. It's like another God saying to God, I love you. There are no other gods. But God has filled us with his image and likeness to such a degree that when we live in the divine will and we say to God, I love you, it's his I love you. It's his love that's coming back to God. And God goes into ecstasy. He sees his love coming from a creature as if the creature were another God. Do you see how much our Lord loves us? He breathed into dust his life, image and likeness. He created Adam to be the image and likeness of God. And when Adam lost this, we were just living in time and space, separate from God, living a miserable life where our bodies had to die. Well, Jesus rose from the dead, and his whole reason for crucifixion, death, and resurrection was so that he could give back to man the original purpose for living, that is to live in the divine will. Now, 2,000 years later, he gives us Luisa Picaretta. As we begin to live this life of heaven on earth, Jesus is there. See, so this is why he says, this is why these consecrated hosts of my divine will are more dear to me than the very sacramental hosts. And if I have reason to exist in the sacramental hosts, it is to form the sacramental hosts of my most holy divine will. So God is going to ask us, he's offering it to us, would you want to do what I want? And if we say, yes, let it be done as you say. We echo Our Lady's fiat mihi. Yes, I want this, fiat. We go to the next step, which is fiat voluntas tua. Let your kingdom come on earth, reign in me as you reign in heaven. Come, divine will, come reign in me on earth, in me as it is in heaven. So our job is to read this, to study this. Now, when you read the little bit that we did today, if you reread this again, you will get more divine truths. You read it again, more will happen. You read it again, more will happen. Jesus is saying, see, it's the word of God, Jesus Christ, who dictated these words to Luisa. These words are so powerful that as you begin to read them over and over and over, God fills you. He fills you to capacity and then expands yourself. Then he fills you to capacity, then expands you so that he can reign in us. And the only thing that he asks is that we give our fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. So as this docility that God is looking for, as that reigns in us, a whole new beginning happens for us. A whole new life begins for us. And like I said, for us, the sign of the times is Luisa Picaretta and the Book of Heaven, this great gift of the divine will. And as we read this, we really begin living heaven on earth. we really begin to possess the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We really then begin to possess the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. He begins to reign in us, and we really start becoming a living host. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.